Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
2024, what a season that is ahead of us. And what better way to talk about everything to come and to completely ignore and disregard 2023 than to listen to this episode of Lakeside Drive. And that's what you're doing right now. Wherever you are, all around the world, you're about to have the dulcet tones of Thomas J. Camp, the brilliance of Freya Brolsma, and me trying to push everything along as always. Welcome to the first episode for 2024. My name is James. Let's get into it. And I'm joined by my friends and yours. I can't change this bit of the podcast. Freya Brolsma in person. Hello.
Hello. This is just a thrill. What a day we've had. So good to be here.
Yes, we have had a day. Campy also joining us from straight from Mordor to here.
Venueless as well.
It's terrifying to see. This is why it's not on video, by the way, because he wouldn't permit it.
Listener, I can confirm it is a rather warm day out in Melbourne and... Well, I'm sweating without my beanie on, so the beanie's definitely not making an appearance today, but we've had a great day. We've been doing some cool stuff, which you will see at some stage in the future couple of weeks, and we've been recording and me on camera and making stuff on the spot.
Right, in your comfort zone. You're just, an absolute natural.
It's been a heap of fun, actually.
Freya, why don't you talk us through what's happened today?
We have had a glorious time together. It is a sunny day here in Melbourne. We went down to podcast studios and got some good content there, which should hopefully make for a very exceptional outtake reel more than anything else. and then we made our way down to, of course, the most wonderful place in Melbourne, which is Lakeside Drive and the Albert Park Circuit. So we went and had a little look at the pit lane, which is about as close as anyone will ever let Campy to a Formula One pit lane, I think we'll see. So
there was a stage where we were walking, the three of us, along the Albert Park Lake, and I felt like something out of the what's that, man? Jeez, shit, Campy, get your punchline together. I've literally been talking all day, and this is what my summary of today is. Jeez, talking's easy, but then you realise how shit I am when I need to talk. But I felt like something out of an Anchorman movie. You know that scene when they're all walking together as the Channel 9 news crew? That's what
I believe the term you used at the time was a Z-grade celebrity.
Yes. Why do I feel like a Z-grade celebrity? Because you are.
You are. That's because it's completely accurate.
It has been a great deal of fun, as you've said, Freya, and we thought a good opportunity to get together for some Formula Cold Ones and decaf. We'll let you decide, listener, who's drinking the decaf. It's not me. That's all I'm going to say. I'll leave it to everyone else to plead their case. This is not a traditional pre-season go through all of the teams. This is a very relaxed catch-up because the three of us have been hanging out together all day, which has been great. and talking about Formula One stuff. So we thought we'd put that into a podcast format for you, dear listener, to get into your ears. We will go back to doing video podcasts, of course, when we get back into the season properly, when that starts in a couple of weeks' time. So I thought let's just go through what's happened before we talk about maybe some feelings ahead of the season. Let's start with the stupidest decision by an American this year, and that's because there's obviously been no elections yet. It's Jean Haas in getting rid of Gunther Steiner. I've just literally just finished listening to Gunther's audiobook. Then the news broke and I thought, wow, well, this is a very interesting. If you've not read or listened to the book, you should do that. It's actually really, really good and a good insight into how Haas came about. And the reality is without Gunther Steiner, Haas would not be on the grid. So, Campy, let's start with you if we may. Why is Jean Haas an idiot?
Well, he's American for once. So, I kind of understand it from a practical viewpoint. Gene owns the team. He makes the decisions. He pays the bills. He's entitled to make the decisions that he wants. In his statements, he's put the onus back on Gunther and said, well, he's not getting the results and he's had ample enough time and ample enough opportunity. In saying that, the dumbest decision you could make, Gunther is universally loved across the paddock. He has a rich history in this sport, not so much results-wise, but he's never had the opportunities at the top teams and when he was at Red Bull initially and he moved on pre, you know, the Helmut Marko, Christian Horner era. But he's really championed his own path in this sport and created something. The fans love him, love what he's done for the F-bomb. I think he made... He made Drive to Survive watchable and appealing to the masses for the first couple of years. So, I don't agree with the decision. I don't like it. I think clearly they were at loggerheads with what needed to happen to get some on-track performance. And I just don't think they have the money nor the infrastructure in place in a central location in order to do so, being in England somewhere. So... it's a bit of a shame, but he will be back.
I think what's interesting about why I personally loved him as such a character, you know, either through Drive to Survive or, you know, his press conferences and other ways we see him in the media, is how much he lent into the character that he was given in such a positive way. You know, he kind of got made fun of for some of the things that he said, obviously the infamous phone call. but he's lent into it and he laughs at himself. Yeah. And in a sport that is so full of ego, he just seems to be absent of that, certainly from what we see, which I know is not always the whole truth or even a reflection of part of it perhaps. But certainly from my perspective, I just think he can laugh at himself, and that's so rare in this sport. He doesn't take himself too seriously whilst also I think obviously taking his job really seriously. Yeah. And if you're going to make a decision like this where somebody who is so loved outside of your team and your brand – if it's time for them to move on, and maybe it is, bloody look after the man and make sure you do it in the most responsible, humane way. Don't make it a phone call that doesn't suggest that you have the same respect for him that reflects the love that is had for him outside of the team. You know, from what we've heard, it doesn't sound like it was, you know, terribly nice in the way that he was let go. And I think that's just stupid, quite frankly.
Yeah, you've got to honour the position and the place that he's held, because the reality is, if it wasn't for him, this team wouldn't exist. Mm-hmm. And like your Toto Wolffs and your Christian Horners, these guys have gone out there, they've found the investment, they've given it the envision. If they had the money themselves, they'd be all over it. But unfortunately, they have to look outside of the box somewhere, and I think to create that. And his legacy will remain intact for a long time. But I just think they could have honoured him a bit more, and his position and his stature within the sport and the fans and the respect that they have for him. And I don't think they.
I heard Alpine's still looking for a team principal.
Well,
so is Kick Stakes Albert. The interesting thing for me is, and we've spoken at length about this last season, is that Haas could not continue doing business the way that they were doing business when Formula One is as big as it is. when you think about how this team was set up, and Stefano Domenicali was the team principal of Ferrari when Gunther and him, Gunther, are old friends, that's how they started, because they were buying like-for-like parts from Ferrari within the regulations to start a Formula One team. They got involved with Dallara to make everything kind of work. But what it was trying to put all of these things together without having a traditional base like we've seen every other team now have. It is embarrassing, I think, because in the way that Andretti's trying to enter the sport, we said this earlier, they're committing themselves to, there's a new global brand of Andretti Racing. They've built a headquarters. They've built a facility in the US. They want to be backed and then get into Formula One. When you've got teams who don't even exist yet putting that kind of capital into infrastructure and investing into campuses like Aston Martin have done from Racing Point. And, you know, we think about that was a team that was really on the edge, had to go bankrupt to then come back to the sport properly and see the sort of pushes and advances that they've had. There is no way that Gunther wasn't saying that to Gene. We got to sort this shit out and grip it together. And obviously, because they listened to your points last year on the Lakeside Drive F1 podcast, can't be about the same thing. Joking aside though, like, you can't continue to run in three different locations. It has to be one base somewhere. And if you're an American team, it's better to make it in the US. They've just never had the cut through. And I think the point about the way that it was all announced and how quick it was too is disrespectful to Gunther for sure. But it also offers opportunities for Gunther now for the rest of this season. So Haas have just lost a team principal. He said in his book too that he leans into the character for Drive to Survive because it's good for the team.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't give a shit about his own brand. It's just good for the team. Now someone else gets to capitalize on that. And Alpine are absolutely looking for a team principal. I think I read somewhere that Otmar Szafnauer is going into Red Bull Racing in some kind of capacity, which doesn't surprise me. These team principals hang around. And Mattia Binotto is still in Formula One. Yeah. I saw him walk into the Red Bull hospitality suite in the British Grand Prix last year when he was a guest of Pirelli. So there's still obviously conversations going around. It wasn't a good sign, I don't think, but at least what they've done is in promote internally Campy. We've got Ayo Komatsu, who's come out as their chief race engineer. You know, he's at least got experience on the ground. The sort of similar point, I suppose, is Andrea Stella from McLaren, you know, coming from that same position, being promoted into team principal and then having some success. Do you think, though, they sort of missed it by not maybe getting someone from the outside who hasn't been close to how it's all been working?
I don't mind promoting within, but then again, I don't know anything about the guy either, other than he was, he seems to have a good reputation within the F1 paddock, and he's got his chance, and if that's what he wants, then great. And clearly the team can only go up from here, so we'll be looking at him closely. But to be honest, I don't know anything about the guy. I've never heard his name spoken on a broadcast.
And in true to form for this podcast, neither of us have done any research to try and fill that gap.
So
I can tell you now, I can look at his LinkedIn.
All right, off you go, James. Give us the highlights.
It still doesn't have
– what's LinkedIn?
It still doesn't have his current job title with the promotion. It's still the former one. I just had it where – oh, this is good audio quality. We're starting off the year strong. Why doesn't it come on work?
While James finds that LinkedIn story for you, I was out for a run around the tan the other day and I went to take a photo because the Yarra was looking spectacularly brown on that glorious morning, and not realizing all my cards fell out of my pocket with my phone. Didn't realize till I got back home and I went to pull my cards out to go grab a coffee. None of them were there. I was like, oh my goodness, nothing there. No ID, no credit card, no debit card, whatever. Go back to the scene of the crime, gone. Anyway, come back here. We're about to cancel it, cancel everything. And somebody, the first time in my entire life, LinkedIn was really useful because somebody had picked up my cards, Googled me, found my LinkedIn and messaged me saying, hey, Freya, I've got all of your stuff. Come get it from my office this afternoon. And so that's my Good Samaritan story of the day, but also LinkedIn finally was useful.
The only time that that's been a thing.
Technology helping people do life better.
Since 2024. So he was first a tyre engineer from November 2003 to November 2005 with BAR, British American Racing.
The glory days of tyres.
Here we go. he was then with Lotus for 10 years, and actually he was Romain Grosjean's race engineer and followed Romain across. That's right. He followed from Lotus to Haas at the beginning. So Performance engineer first for 4 years, then race engineer for 4 years, then chief race engineer for a year. And then, yeah, when the Haas project started and Roman moved across there, then he went there too. It's just interesting. I mean, we're sort of dwelling on this a little bit, but I think the state of where Formula One is, you know, at the moment, last year was a big season. We're still in the off season, but it's never off, is it? Formula One continues to barrel ahead. And it also barrels ahead with unplanned livery reveals. Let's talk about how McLaren just did a Red Bull and copied exactly last year's livery and then pasted it on their 2024 car, Freya.
I mean, yeah, spot the difference. It's the same.
There should be a Monster Energy logo on it too, and it doesn't exist. Where is it?
Freya's best quagmire voice too.
Still waiting for your Brian impression, Campy?
Oh, no. No.
So that's a no then. I think like more interesting for me, rather than the fact that the livery is unspectacular and kind of pretty similar to what we've seen before, is the fact that they just dropped it on their Instagram with absolutely no hoo-ha. Whereas last year they had, you know, a couple of very well-known presenters doing a very kind of corporate but schmick style presentation, which looked exceptional, a really, you know, high budget, high operation when it comes to their launch. And then this year they've just dumped it on their Instagram, like Pierre Gasly liking every other post. Off you go, can put it out into the ethos when it comes to everything else on Instagram. Just no kind of celebration, which I just kind of go, well, that's interesting to me. Like, why did you do that? And is it because they want to do something different to everybody else who's going to have some fireworks and violins, or is it because they know it's not that different to previous years?
So fireworks and violins go together?
Well, I don't know. I think
create atmosphere and tension in the sound
at the same time.
The way that it makes
all at the same time. Which didn't Ferrari have like
it's a bit like the monster trucks in Niagara on the way?
Here we go. Let's figure a way to crowbar this into here.
So. Yeah, or is it a matter of they've just gone, look, it's actually pretty similar to last year. We're going to have more announcements throughout the year. We're going to make a bigger deal of. It was just a surprise. I was
clearly
surprised by that.
Clearly, got budgets and cost cap
I was going to
too.
Say, yeah, clearly exactly. They just want to spend that budget in somewhere else. Yep. And I was there ahead of the 21 launch. And Danny Rick and I was interviewing some of the Extreme E people. And like I was taken around and they were building the stage and stuff. And they were like, you can't. Don't take any photos or film anything or whatever else.
So even one that you took, they still had to ask you to take down because it had like a curtain in the background.
And a video from, anyway, from the Can-Am side, not where the F1 cars are. They're like the McLaren F1 and all that kind of stuff, like road cars. And it was a very, I started the frame and it was a shot of the curtain. Yeah. Like, look, fair enough.
Yeah.
That's fine. But my point is there's less risk of getting anything spoiled and they just drop it that way. Yeah, it saves so much money and time and effort and everything else. And people in the factory can just focus on doing Formula One rather than a sexy launch that is neither here nor there. And I mean, Haas generally just put a picture out anyway. They go, here you go. Yeah. Here it is. Here's the livery this year. Next.
Do we need to ask about the Monster Energy partnership that got released in November? And it was this big hoo-ha. And then we were chatting this morning, Jim. Didn't see any Monster Energy on the livery. What's the go with that?
If you know, listener, let us know. Jumping onto our Discord because I can't seem to find anything about it. There's no, apart from people going, where's the Monster Energy logo? I thought there was this big deal about it. If you know something, let us know because our F1 journalist friends are still on holiday. So my sources of information are otherwise occupied, which is what it is.
It's a shocking livery at best.
To say the least.
And it's still just stick it in partners and sponsors and that type of thing as well. So if there's any space left on the car, maybe that's it. Maybe they couldn't find space on the car for another sponsor sticker. That was it.
Still yeah, full. My thought, and I said this so at lunch, many of them. Was that maybe they just go full Ken Block racing suit style and it's just they come out only in Monster Energy on the racing suit. Yeah. It's the only thing that I can think of that's left for a spot on the car. Speaking of sponsorship and names, how's the new name of Toro Rosso?
Already forgotten it.
Go on. What do you think? What is it, Campy?
I have said this in previous years.
It's
but
not Minardi.
I do not consider myself to be the smartest man on the planet and have marketing degrees and have an you know, astronomical amount of understanding of how these things work. But who the fuck decided to come up with that name? What are they thinking? It's a bit like the Racing Point. It's like, what are these people sitting there paid stupid amounts of money? How can they sit there and come up with a name like Cash App Racing? My God.
When we were sitting in the car on the way here, James said, oh, we should talk about Visa, Cash App, Racing Bulls. And I literally sat there and stared at him because I didn't know what he was talking about. Who exactly?
If you would like petition to call them Minardi again, please let me know.
What happened to Toro Bosso? It was the best name ever. Yes.
Oh, clearly Hugo Boss didn't want anything to do with it.
I'm shocked at the stupidity of some of these people that have paid astronomical amounts of money. It is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, and you've heard some dumb things.
Well, I lived in Victoria under Dan Andrews in lockdown, so, you know, I'm used to dealing with bullshit down here, but wow.
You're still dealing with that trauma.
There is literally nothing catchy about it. It is catching nothing, absolutely nothing. It's ridiculous. Not going to remember what it's called. And as when you think about branding, as you said, you're branding and trying to make things front and center and simple, and it just makes no sense at all.
Yeah, there's not been an official announcement yet about that, but I've just gone in to search for their Instagram handle, and the first result is the podcast, fellow Australian podcast, The Reserve Drivers, have renamed themselves the Visa Cash App Reserve Drivers.
That was fantastic. Well done.
Also, that's the name. The description is Haas Team Principal. So they're already, for the three bits of content they do for the year, that probably counts as one of them.
Very good.
Very good lads. It is an interesting thing, but what is more interesting about the whole scenario is that for the first time ever, it is a title sponsor for Toro Rosso, AlphaTauri, and the main reason for that, Campy, is our cute boy, Danny Rick.
Very cute. And I may have said that on camera today. So when you see that, just know that the skullduggery and shit talking was at peak level about 2 minutes before it. And 5 minutes after I recorded it, I was like, did I really just say that on camera?
You did.
So there you go.
All by yourself too. None of us were in the front.
On a scale of zero.
It's a
big,
it's a great funny smile though, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
On a scale of zero to Bonnie, how cute is Daniel Ricciardo?
Well, he's not as cute as Bonnie. Bonnie is, mate, that dog has stolen my heart. I may even love that dog more than my wife.
It's the whisper for me. If I whisper this, she won't be able to hear. Bryony only operates within certain decibels.
That's exactly how it works.
It's like visions based on movement. Yeah, it's an interesting thing though, because obviously Danny Rick's star power, inverted commas, has brought more sponsors along. Nick Thim, who is the manager for Scotty James and for Danny Rick, is very good at doing these kinds of deals. He's the Zach Brown, I suppose, you know, when Zach Brown was doing the same kind of role 20 years ago, which is not really a surprise. So we'll probably see him as the CEO of McLaren at some point in the future. But it is an interesting thing for me because there's never been hype around the junior team. There was discussion in when they changed their names to AlphaTauri that it will be the sister team. And in 2024, Campy, they're actually going to have similar design philosophy than the Red Bull from last year. So there is some real potential, not only for Visa Cash App to obviously have Daniel Ricciardo star power in terms of advertising that, but potentially be able to get some significant points, potentially some podiums. I mean, Pierre Gasly, who's one of the greatest drivers of all time, Freya.
Obviously.
When he was driving the AlphaTauri / Toro Rosso, and same with Alex Albon, got really good results. Some consistent points when the car was sharing parts with the Red Bull. So we're seeing, what I'm understanding is, if we're seeing a return to that, then maybe it's not such a dumb, it's a stupid name, but it's not a dumb idea. It could have been Hugo Boss. It could have been, you know, Heineken F1 team, whatever it is. But it's the Daniel Ricciardo factor, I think. And Yuki Tsunoda, who's probably going to drive pretty well this year too. That kind of attraction to want to be able to do that. And I just think that's an interesting point, to have a junior team now be so, you know, important in that respect.
Yeah. Well, I know that Zach Brown has made comments that he's concerned about the level of the Red Bull organization owning two teams and what that may mean for the top team and how much data they're stealing. But I will I will reserve my right to comment on this at the moment. I will wait to see after 10 races how in – well, no.
Watch that be two races.
That's fine. We'll still have 700 races left.
I will wait to see how close that working relationship is between the two teams and whether information is given to the top team and passed back down on design philosophies and data. Technically, you can't share any of the data that you have to give to a sister organisation anyway, but look, they've said this is going to be a sister team and they're going to be comparable to the top team before, and it's never eventuated because the reality is it's a B team and it's a feeder. It's supposed to sit in that middle bracket of F1 teams in order to create the talent to then go on to the top of the organisation. So until it happens on track, I'll reserve my right.
It's an exciting prospect, though, and we love to speculate. And I think it's, like you said, the concern is that it has been said before, but the difference, as James has mentioned, is Daniel Ricciardo, essentially. I think the potential that they've got in that car right now is greater than they've ever seen it before when it comes to their driver ability. And Yuki, for all of his moments that make us both laugh and cry simultaneously, his potential is there. And if you've got people around him saying the same thing and those two who seem to have a really great working relationship, Yuki wanting to learn as much as he can from Daniel, it's a genuinely exciting prospect. It's about understanding how they maximize that transfer of information and everything else, obviously within the rules that they've been given.
Okay, it's the end of January and at the end of February we go racing, which is pretty exciting. Testing's coming up soon as well. Let's just go through the tracks, shall we, and when they're happening. There's 700 races, so I'll try and keep it as concise as possible.
When do we go to Paul Ricard? That's the most exciting race on this.
I'm still dizzy from 2021.
Beforehand, when we're at lunch talking about this and we're talking about, what Grand Prix are we looking forward to? Campy's like, I'm looking forward to the French Grand Prix this year. Very good.
Oh, that was the worst impression I've ever heard.
At least I'm doing an impression. Come on, Brian.
Still waiting on yours.
Come on, Brian. So Bahrain first up. We're obviously testing there. We do that as well. We then go to Saudi Arabia, which is neither here nor there. And then the actual start of the Grand Prix calendar, the 22nd to the 24th of March here in Melbourne. And then very excitingly, Campy, we go to Japan. So the 24th of March and then the 7th of April is Japan. So a week in between, it's going to be really interesting to have those kind of circuits back to back. Yes.
Can I make a bold profit prediction for Japan this year?
Oh, yeah?
It's going to be Oscar's first win.
Ooh, I like it.
I like it too.
What makes you choose Japan as the weekend?
Well, think about last year and what Oscar was able to do the first time he'd ever driven around that track. He made Lando look second rate, and I think the more time he spends in that McLaren and in this organisation, the better and better he's going to get. And he'll be right up there, I think, this year.
Yeah, well, look what he did last year. We have a same grid as last year, and there's obviously no competition for him to get Rookie of the Year last year. Yeah. But
does that mean he gets it 2 years in a row?
Well, that's true. Might as well.
Logan Sargeant's not getting it.
Well, they might give it to him as a consolation prize.
Hey, I saw a pig flying the other day. That might happen.
We then go to China. China's back. I'm always torn about this circuit because there's parts of it that I really like and then there's parts of it I don't like. We haven't seen this generation. Well, we just haven't seen this generation of Formula One cars there yet.
Was 2018 the last race we had there?
19.
19.
Yeah. Okay. 18. No, 18. Sorry.
18. Danny Rick's win.
It was 2019. No, 2019.
No, it was. Okay.
Yeah, 2019 because it was the 1,000th Grand Prix.
That's right.
Formula 1,000. Remember? It landed on the Chinese Grand Prix. And Alex Albon had a really good showing in the Toro Rosso there, and that was led into part of the reason as to why he ended up replacing Pierre Gasly. Anyway.
F1 history right there. Yeah, I know. Meaningless history that no one ever remembers except for about me. Pierre Gasly and Alex Albon.
Get off it.
A break to
get off it. We then go to Miami in the for the 5th of May. We're then hopefully going to Emilia-Romagna and Italy on the 19th of May, then Monaco. That's still a circuit that exists, which I think is a good thing for Formula One, especially if we've got Vegas as well. Canada is in its usual spot in the middle of the year in June. Barcelona, or as Campy will pronounce correctly for us now.
Barcelona.
Thank you. It's on the 23rd of June. Austria, the 30th of June. Where 7th of July is Silverstone. I'm sort of going on here. Hungary, Belgium, Netherlands, Italy, Azerbaijan, Singapore, US, the proper one, Mexico, Brazil, Las Vegas, Qatar, Abu Dhabi. It is going to be a lengthy season. The last race is on the 8th of December. So we start on the 21st of February. But
I'm excited, but I'm tired already.
It's a full calendar, but there's some really good tracks in there that I think will be interesting for a whole range of different teams. If we're only interested in who's going to finish second, third, fourth, and fifth, of course, because it's very likely Max Verstappen is going to still be dominant. And Campy, you always had the conspiracy tinfoil beanie on that Red Bull was never releasing 100% of power of their car in previous races in previous seasons. So with maybe Ferrari, McLaren, Mercedes starting to step up towards the front, maybe the gap will still exist with Red Bull. It's just they turn it up to maybe 90% this time.
Wow. I think all there. By the time they're making these decisions at about the midway point of the year, that world championship for Max was locked up, signed, sealed and delivered already. They just had to show up with what they had and it was good enough. I think you'll see some pretty dominant results in the first 4 to 5 rounds and that'll set the tone for next year too. They will give up immediately on the development of this year's car as soon as they possibly can to develop next year's. I know there's some rules about when they can start and what they can do, but this is F1. This is not hard to – how do you police it? And that's the reality. They're not policing the off-track on-site, you know, in their factories like they do on a race weekend. So they can – there's lots of things they can do.
All right. There is one more bit of thing we can talk about, and that is Stake F1, Sauber's new title partner, Australian – crypto casino owner has sorted that out. Where gambling advertising is not allowed, it will be Kick, which is a streaming service apparently. It just is. If you're part of the Facebook group, put it in MGU8, which is Simpsons F1 related memes. They had an absolute field day with it, and there's some very, very good content about the renaming of Stake. Sort of more broadly, Audi, there were rumors towards the end of last year that Audi weren't totally sold on their investment into Formula One for the next generation. They might be feeling a little bit better now considering the results in Dakar. And sorry, if you want to watch Dakar and you don't know the results yet, I'm just about to spoil it for you. So you can skip forward 10 seconds. Carlos Sainz Sr. Taking out the victory in the Dakar for Audi is pretty mega. I think Seb Loeb ended up in third and Nasser Al-Attiyah didn't finish because he changed out of Toyota.
And Christina Gutierrez, first female winner since 2001.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Sarah Price did pretty well too in the same category. Which is really, really exciting for all of the off-road side. All of that to say though, just to bring it back to Audi, is that their interest in motorsport I think will be a little bit – happier, I guess, with that kind of result. Maybe they'll be leaning forward. But, gee, I tell you what, any name, just Audi Formula One racing team is going to be a significant improvement to what they have with Stake/Kick F1.
I think what's interesting in terms of the investment, which we were talking about a bit earlier today, is that it does kind of show that I think there's kind of these different characters or personalities that are involved in Formula One now. You've kind of got these legacy teams and people who have been involved with it for so long and they're really established and they have a huge amount of influence. Obviously, we're talking about Mercedes, Ferrari, et cetera. Yeah. And then you've got these either investors for the most part, who are going, well, I've got a bit of money lying around. F1 team, why not? And I think that reflects kind of that new generation of Formula One, both in its fan base, in its investors, in where it's going. So while I think, you know, it kind of makes my spine tingle a little bit when I think about people who are getting involved, it's not a great thoughts sometimes. At the same time, it's kind of interesting because I think it's very reflective of where it's going. And at the end of the day, a team like that, given the kind of state of flux that it's in at the moment for the next 2 years until that next gen comes through, that's exactly what they needed, was somebody with a heap of extra cash going, yeah, that sounds fun. I'll put my name on the side of a Formula One car, naming rights actually, and off you go. That's exactly what they need, as much as it sounds absolutely terrible.
Yeah, I think F1 is very careful about who they let invest these days. Mm. Post William Story and Rich Energy and that saga, yeah. And I did check out Mr. Story's Twitter when Gunther was sacked. And, it was exactly what you imagine it to be, and I had a laugh. But look, that guy's still sponsoring race teams and still doing things, which is profoundly odd to me. But yeah, I think money talks at the end of the day, though. If you're willing to be a name sponsor and put your hard-earned cash where you want, I think you're totally right. For a team like Sauber, you know, moving forward, it's exactly what they need, and it gives Audi a few years jump in their design philosophies and getting, you know, the off-track departments right where it needs to be, so that when they come into F1, they can hit it head-on and give it a good crack. So
let's just talk a little bit about how you can get involved with Lakeside Drive this year before we wrap this episode up. The best place you can do that is Discord. Freya, you're a frequenter of the Discord.
It's just the funnest place in the world. There's lots of cats and dogs. People are hilarious. We're all fun and inclusive, and it's just a great place to be. The only place that is potentially funnier than us on the occasion.
If you're not fun and inclusive, by the way, I ban you. So
why? It's way funnier than us.
Hey, don't talk us down.
Especially in person.
Yeah, exactly.
It's more of a letdown than anything else.
We've had a great day.
We used our good material earlier in the day with zero recording happening. So,
very much looking forward to you, listener, watching that little video. You'll see that on social media at some point in the next couple of weeks. There's a whole bunch of legends in here and more of you joining all the time. The great questions that are coming in at the moment are about the Australian Grand Prix. So there are users like FatDad6000 a very sweet dog as the profile picture, asking questions about what's going on, like what should I do on a Thursday? And already a couple of absolute Discord legends like Kel Lane and Court and Brabham are getting in there and suggesting some different bits and pieces. So Lakeside Drive is bigger than just the three of us talking absolute nonsense on the podcast. It is a really cool community of all of you guys getting together to help make the F1 watching thing enjoyable, because it's a very long season and sometimes not a lot happens on track whilst you're watching at 3 o'clock in the morning. So it's good to laugh at Freya after she's had a couple of drinks on a boat party.
Yeah.
I felt like you on New Year's Eve, actually. It was pretty...
You what?
Felt like you after your boat party on New Year's Eve. I was pretty toasty. If I'm 100% honest, I didn't even make New Year's this year.
That is a peak, like entering your 30s and going, actually.
Actually, the 9:30 fireworks were fantastic. Were there violins there? That's what I want to know. James, what are you excited about for the 2024 season? What are you looking forward to?
Daniel Ricciardo going to Red Bull. Yep.
It's going to be good.
It's going to happen sooner rather than later. I mean, you know, feel for Sergio Perez, but at the end of the day, the star power of Danny Ric and also the quality of driving that he was able to pull off, considering he broke his hand, even with a tyre test, you know, poor old Nyck de Vries, who had no shot really of keeping that seat, especially when, you know, DR hadn't even come in. Helmut Marko was already making phone calls. But, I mean, DR is one of the reasons that I love the sport. Have been very biased towards him for quite some time. And so to see him, his stocks go up again in the world of Formula One, I mean, it was a hard slog watching him in McLaren not being able to figure it out. But having to deal with the commentary and social media is a ridiculous place, and there's lots of people who know very little about anything, even less about Formula One than we do, just saying, oh, he's washed and all these sorts of other things. So from that point of view, I think it's pretty kick-ass. I mean, Daniel is – not only is he cute from a campy point of view, but he's also an amazing racer.
Yeah. What am I looking forward to this year? I love the start of the year because I suppose there's lots of there's lots of scenarios that can play out, and it's that unknown is probably the best part. We don't get a clear picture of what the championship's going to look like for four or five races. So that's what I'm excited about. I think it'll go in a certain direction, and I think Max will probably dominate like he has. He'll get pushed by Danny Rick when he eventually gets there. But I love that uncertainty of a new year and what it looks like. And testing will be good too. I love watching testing for at least a good 4 or 5 hours. You get to get all the goss off the track too. So fun.
Yeah.
Spewing we're at the Middle East again, because why do we test there? It's just dumb.
Saves freight costs. And also Barcelona can be very cold.
We care so much about our carbon output that we add 5 more races to the calendar this year. We've now got 355.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, you can't. It's very much having their cake and eating it too. The championship picture will be interesting. I hope we have more winners than what we did last year. And I think Oscar will absolutely be getting in there. But Frey, what about you? What are you looking forward to this season?
I really hope that Imola gets a great race. It's a hope, and it's something I'm looking forward to as well, hoping that it happens. I just think so much about that region and the race. It's a great race. It's a great kind of that old Europe side of Formula One that we love to watch, and just so much went on there last year, and it's something that I'm really looking forward to, some of those kind of the original tracks that we all get really excited about, kind of really owning their space in Formula One. And so I'm really hoping that they get to do that this year, because I think there's been so much, hoo-ha about Vegas and Miami and everything else. And then you add the weather events and stuff like that for Imola and some of the other locations as well, that it makes me just really excited for them at the start of a season to say, this will be the year that we really kind of honor those tracks and they get to own their space in Formula One, have a great weekend. So that is what I'm hoping for and then optimistically looking forward to as well.
I'd prefer us to go back to, is it Ferrano?
I thought you were going to say France for a second.
Ferrano's. Which we raced there on that COVID year, which is the other Italian track.
Magello,
that's the one.
Yeah.
Mate.
Where Mick did a little showing in the F2004, his dad's car.
Mate, that is a track.
Great.
It is a track.
I'd prefer to, maybe I could switch that every year with Imola too, because Imola's good. But it's both of them aren't Monza though, are they? Monza's a track.
But this is my point, right, is we're sitting here going, between these three great tracks, which is the best track? And which one from, that was also excellent could we bring back?
Yeah.
But the focus has been so much on these new ones and obviously everything that comes with that, which I understand to an extent. But, I think the conversation that comes in very naturally as soon as you name those tracks, those circuits, is how excited we get about it. And so my hope and the thing that I'm looking forward to this year is that we have more of those conversations and put the spotlight back on some of those fantastic tracks and circuits, which I think the drivers get really excited about as well.
Yep.
And I just hope that they get to put on a showing and remind us kind of that really core part of F1 and what we love about it too.
Yeah, well, there's plenty to come and plenty to talk about. There is going to be a lot of racing this year. I drop something onto the floor. And the best place for you to get around all of that is on the television, honestly, because we're not going to help you live. But if you want to debrief with us, then you're welcome to do it, because we'll be putting out race reviews, race previews, always through the year, interviews where we can get them. If you're coming to the Australian Grand Prix, all three of us will be at the Australian Grand Prix. In terms of what Freya and Campy are doing, hopefully we'll be some Lakeside Drive content around the site, I'll be there. You'll be able to hear me and see me, which will be very annoying for everybody. Which I'm
hosting his game show.
all this out of context hate until the video goes out. But that's it for this episode. A really casual start to the year as we then get into full throttle in a little bit. The best place to keep up to date with what's going on is Instagram and on Discord. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube ahead of us launching that. Any final thoughts, Freya Brolsma, before we say goodbye to you and you say goodbye to Australia?
So many thoughts, but I'm going to save them for the preview of round one and go from there, I think. I'm really excited about this season. I was pretty tired by the end of the last one. I'm sure I'll feel the same way at the end of this one. But at the same time, I'm, you know, excited to get going again. I'm excited for this lineup. I'm excited for Daniel Ricciardo. Excited for Oscar, for VB in his ridiculously named team. But he's still there and we still love him. So lots to look forward to.
Campy?
Yeah, not sure. I'm really not sure what I'm looking forward to, but how insightful. No, it's going to be good. It's going to be a fun year. The more participation from the listeners that we get, I think it enhances the quality of our show, and 100%. You guys can direct it how you see fit and ask us stupid questions and good ones, and hey, that's the stuff I really look to do the most. I don't post a lot, but I do.
You creep in the shadows.
He does.
Do creep a bit.
Full-time profession.
I'm going to go full-time Campy and Bonnie picks this year. Might do some weekly Campy Bonnie content.
Love that. Love that. Well, thank you so much for listening, wherever you are. We really just appreciate that you want to spend some time with us in your ears, whatever you're doing right now. But we will be back in a couple of weeks' time. So make sure you stick to being subscribed to the podcast on wherever you're listening right now. But also, again, social media, help us boost all of those numbers. We bloody appreciate it. It is goodbye for now. And the MVP for this episode is the term hoo-ha, which both of you have said more than once.
At your expense.
You're welcome.
Bye. Yeah,
bye.
You're too small.
I'm talking to my feel like to the camera Campy. When I'm saying
that. It's not what you said when I was sitting on that chair.
Shut up. Not where I thought you were going with that. Ladies, both of you. Sports Social Podcast Network.